May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. The day after the election, an Episcopal church in Silver Spring, Maryland, a church where the congregation consists of immigrants from more than 50 different countries, had a message of hate scrawled on the sign advertising its Spanish Mass. Somebody felt the need to put on the back Trump Nation, whites only. In Indiana, a church was equally defaced with other hateful comments targeting gays. And if you have been reading the news, you know these were not been isolated incidences in the last few weeks. The Southern Poverty Law Center is tracking more than 700 hate crimes. Our own Attorney General here in Massachusetts set up a hotline for people to report hate crimes in Massachusetts, and in the first week they received 400 reports. We can hardly turn on the news, even locally, without seeing terrible things spray painted on school lockers and church walls, on public buildings and private homes. It is a discouraging time, because I think a lot of us thought we had moved past that as a nation. A lot of us, when we elected Barack Obama as president, felt we were finally going to move beyond the hatred that has always been part of American society. The hatred towards those who are different than us, those who come from different places, or speak different languages, or simply look different. We hoped we were finally moving past that. And the last 2 weeks have been a terrible and shocking reminder that perhaps we have not come as far as we had hoped, that there is still hatred harbored in so many hearts against our neighbors. I don't think that hatred has suddenly appeared out of nowhere. But the last 2 weeks has given some people encouragement that silence means that hatred is shared. That silence has meant that they are the ones in the majority, that their neighbors agree with them. It has been, for us, a wake-up call that our silence can be misinterpreted, can be understood as hatred for our neighbor, as opposition to those who are different from us. It seems to me appropriate that these readings on the first Sunday of Advent call for us to wake up, to keep awake, to be ready, to be prepared. And I am particularly appreciative of Paul's letter to the Romans. Paul's letter to the Romans, in which he tells us that we know what time it is. Now is the moment to wake from sleep. But perhaps even more powerful are the words right before the words we heard today. Paul tells the Romans, owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. My brothers and sisters, we have been called to wake up. And we have been called to wake up to love. To love our neighbors. We have been called to speak and to act. Because love is not merely a feeling of affection. Love for Paul and for Jesus does not just simply mean that we won't be part of those who write hateful things, but that we will, in fact, be actively part of those who seek to change the world into a place where love of neighbor means welcome and hospitality, where love of neighbor stands alongside and with those who are targeted by hate, where love of neighbor is active and vocal and open. In the Advent season, we find ourselves preparing for the coming of the light into the world. We find ourselves called to examine our hearts, examine our consciences, in preparation to welcome the Christ child on Christmas Eve. To welcome a child born in a stable because he had no place to go. A child announced to shepherds, not kings. We are to prepare our hearts to welcome those people who are not often welcome. Because that's where we find Jesus. It is our calling as Christians to wake up, to know what we face, to know that there is evil and wrong in the world, and to also know, as Paul knows, that God has begun the process of bringing the light into the world, and we are called to be part of that process. That God has offered us a vision of the kingdom of Jerusalem as the city of peace, a place where we will beat our swords into plowshares because we make war on one another no more. But it is not enough for us to hold that vision in our hearts quietly, patiently, simply waiting for something else to happen. Because when we do, our silence may well be misconstrued as a willingness to wage war, as a willingness to embrace hate, as a willingness to say, God loves us, but not you. And so our love for our neighbor must be active. Our love for our neighbor must not wait to respond, but must reach out to say, what can we do? How can we bring peace? How can we welcome those who are not welcome? We must follow Paul's advice and cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Yeah, Paul's using that imagery intentionally. He knows that he's asking the church in Rome, he's asking all of us to do something hard, something that may make us targets for that very same hate. But we do not have to fear, because we can clothe ourselves in Christ. We can clothe ourselves in the hope of salvation. Paul is absolutely certain as he asks this, that God has already begun the process of bringing the light into the world. Advent is about our claiming the same certainty, about our preparing for that same light entering the world, about our putting on the armor of light, casting away the works of darkness, standing up and being counted among those who are silent because they have no voice, who are silent because they are afraid. In Maryland, after that banner was put up, something pretty wonderful began happening. People from the neighborhood began coming out to the church and writing messages in chalk, all kinds of messages and all kinds of language, they were welcome in that place. The entire sidewalk became covered with messages of hope and promise. Some people from the community got together and had a banner made saying, "This is Silver Spring, all are welcome here." Echoing our own church's refrain, "All are welcome. All are welcome at God's table." I don't know what the outcome will be in the next months and years ahead. But I know that silence gives power to the works of darkness. And I know that as Christians, we are the people who can stand up and say, "I am with the Lord of light. I am with the Christ who is coming again. I don't know what hour finally evil and hatred will be defeated, but I know they will be." So let us be awake. Let us keep awake. And let us be ready for whatever hour, whatever demand, whatever opportunity is laid before us. Amen.
Amen.